and welcome to the Art of Balance podcast, brought to you by Balanceology, with me, Dylan Cox, and my wife, and author of the best-selling book, Burnout to Brilliance, Jane Morris. Jane is also a regular contributor to Psychology's magazine. Together, we take a light-hearted approach whilst doing deep dives into topics that we believe can help improve your day-to-day lives. If you like what you hear, you can follow us on Instagram at balanceology.uk, or alternatively, visit our website, balanceology.uk. In today's episode, we're talking about honesty and how we can be more authentic and true about our feelings in both a work and personal setting, and how being honest can help improve working relationships, especially when unspoken and unsayable words can become embodied in us and in our teams and in the whole system. And by being honest, we can break them down and create an atmosphere of trust. Enjoy. Episode number 25 of the Art of Balance podcast with me, Dylan, and my wonderful co-host, Jane Morris. 25 episodes in, and today's topic is going to be all about honesty. Jane, I think I love you. That's me being honest. I'm your husband,
That's better than the first two takes that we had of this.
Yeah, where I just slated you, which I will do later on in the episode when we're really being honest.
But yeah, all awkwardness aside, it's actually the awkwardness, I think, of being honest that holds us back from being honest. It can feel really uncomfortable to say how you truly feel in any given moment, really, with anyone, when there's something there that needs to be said and shared because there's a tension rising in you, a kind of gap between where things are in reality and where you feel they could be. And you feel that and you want to say something about it, but it feels so uncomfortable to be that vulnerable and to risk upsetting the other person, risk losing the relationship, whether that's a personal one or a professional one. I think that can really be what holds us back from speaking our truth.
Definitely.
And yet when we don't say what needs to be said, it's held in our body physically and the other person picks up on it, regardless of how well we think we wear a mask or disguise things with our facial expressions. They can feel it with their own bodies and they know something's not quite right. They can't always put their finger on it, and then that creates even more awkwardness and tension and makes it even more difficult. And then that other person can also feel quite anxious because they start to imagine what's going on for the other person, what's going on for us if we don't say what we need to say. So they start making it all about them. They start imagining things that are maybe worse than what the truth of the matter is. And as a result, it can create distance between us rather than bringing us closer together. And in organisational settings, it can cause inertia, it can cause resistance to change and some really challenging dynamics between people.
It can create just a tense atmosphere, right, as well. Because, like you said, just being honest is sometimes going to upset somebody else or challenge them. And that in itself needs a certain amount of confidence to be delivered to somebody, and if you're not used to doing that, you bottle it up, and then that's just you're punishing yourself, aren't you, if you bottle it up. So it's hard to be open and honest, I guess, with people all the time, especially in a work situation where some people don't want to upset the kind of
apple cart,
the kind of feel of the room and stuff, and knowing that you've got to sit next to that person or sit opposite them or close to them is sometimes playing on your mind when you're thinking about how open and honest can I be with them. So I had an idea, Jane, and this is probably what you're going to talk about, but you know, I think it's great that you could have like an honesty hour or an honest room, and everyone goes in and they're all honest with each other, and then they all fall out and they all quit. That wouldn't be the end result, but they, you know,
it would likely be the opposite of that, in fact. I mean, exactly. There may be some people that then move on as a result of what might come out through conversations, but that ultimately would actually be the best outcome then, if that's the case, because it means that somebody would otherwise be staying in a false sense of what the truth is of the role they're in or the situation they're in. But more often than not, I think uncovering and articulating what's really going on beneath the surface when there are these kind of tensions that are felt can really be liberating and bring a lot of clarity in organisations and help to work out what needs to happen next that would be a move towards better for an organisation.
How do you deliver honesty then? How can you do it in a way that is with integrity and not attacking somebody for something that they haven't done or that they're not doing? How can you be sort of personable when you're delivering your honesty?
Well, it's tricky because sometimes we can end up that we're triggered by somebody about something that actually stems from something in our past that we haven't overcome.
I know that feeling.
Or somebody reminds us of somebody else that we haven't managed to face and handle well. So it's...
So it's often not that person. It's something unresolved in their... In
us,
past, yeah.
In us, when we find it difficult to deliver something calmly, concisely, and without going into a place of anger
or defense,
yeah, or feeling extremely anxious, stressed, it's there's more usually in the background, because when we communicate authentically and with integrity and from our heart, so saying something because we know it needs to be said, and we are kind of almost holding that space for the other person to receive what we say, knowing that we're sharing it with the best intention of helping to resolve whatever's there or move forward, being open to suggestions, to other ways of working, other ways of doing things, other ways of relating. If we tie it back into sort of the personal context in a home scenario, sometimes we can assume that the other person is going to take what we say and react or respond in a certain way, but we don't ever give them the opportunity to get to explore that thing with them and see whether our expectations of how they might respond are actually accurate.
I just want to walk it back a few steps before you get to the point where you want to deliver something that's going to be truthful and honest. How do you identify within yourself? Because you don't want to make a rash decision and think I'm speaking honestly, but you haven't thought it through. How do you make sure that you are concrete in your honesty? You know that what you're saying is the truth for you.
So I think there's a technique that we can use that can help us to go more into that place inside of us. If you notice just with your breathing, and we were teasing each other about...
You weren't teasing me. No, you weren't teasing me about my breathing. So you weren't teasing me at all about my breathing. You were ridiculing me. And it was quite hurtful, actually. You were saying that you know, my breathing was stopping you from sleeping. I wasn't asleep. I was watching... So we were away at the weekend. We were in a hotel room and I was... watching, there's a big fight on, Anthony Joshua's fighting Alexander Usyk. I wanted to watch it, had it on my phone, had my headphones in. The girls are in the room as well, it's the family room, they were asleep. And apparently, my breathing, my the one thing that was keeping me alive, my actual breath, was too much for Jane to cope with. She's absolutely annoyed. Annoyed is not the word. She was furious with the fact that I was breathing.
I wasn't furious.
You were furious.
How did you breathing and saying?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm watching the boxing. I'm thinking she's asleep. And I get a voice memo from her. I'm like, hang on a minute. And she's like right next to me. And I look at it and then I listen to it. And it's just a recording of me breathing. And let me say, it was just normal breathing.
Oh, come on. But that actually wasn't what I meant. I meant that you were teasing me about my breathing. I wasn't even going to bring you into it. I was saying that
you were setting this up as a means to say that I breathe.
Right, I think we're going off on a bit of a tangent here. The point is that quite often... our breath will be quite shallow and up higher in our chest. And when we're operating in a kind of hectic manner, rushing around, going about all of the different things we have to get through in a day, we can sometimes forget to breathe properly and our breath is up high. Now, that wasn't what was going on that room.
I was pretty nervous because it was a big fight.
Okay, it was more that you were... I was just really aware of your breathing, and it wasn't how you normally breathe. And it was
I was nose breathing. I was doing deep breathing.
I know, it's just
yoga,
really loud.
Yoga nidra, is that what it is?
And I was trying to sleep. Yeah. That's all
I
know.
Yeah.
But In relation to this, and the point of this being relevant here, is you were talking about how to access whether something is really coming from a place of your truth and what you need to share, or triggering, and are you likely to be going to things that are going to convey something in a way that isn't really...
Have you ruminated on the fact that that is your real truth? Have you thought about it? Have you weighed it up in your mind?
Then you can ask yourself, so breathe really deeply down into your body, like fill your lungs completely with your breath.
I won't do it because it'll annoy you.
Breathing all the way down into your stomach and asking yourself, where in my body do I feel this is true, this statement is true? Because you're about to essentially share something with another person that is a statement that feels true to you. And if you talk about it that when XYZ happens, I feel, bring it always back to you and how it makes you feel. You take responsibility for the fact that you have the feelings you have in response to whatever else is going on. That's not the other person making you feel that way. That's you having those feelings. And that whatever it is about the scenario, the setup, the whatever's going on that needs to be shared, kind of detaching from it, and so that you're not making it about the other person, more about you and what you're noticing is going on in you that you feel would be helpful to share with them. So should we give some examples?
Yeah, maybe? Please, that'd be great.
So I could say, for example, to you in a relationship context.
Oh, here we go. I didn't expect you to break up with me on a podcast, Jane.
And sometimes it can almost feel like sometimes we can use the word like secretly, because quite often when we're not being honest, we're then holding a secret from other people. So secretly we're feeling uncomfortable, or secretly we're feeling frustrated, or secretly we're feeling unfulfilled when XXX happens, or because of whatever it is. And so when we use that language, that can also help to open things up and get it out. So I could say, Dylan, I'm noticing that I'm feeling really frustrated about the laundry, and I think it's because secretly I think I can do it better than you. That's obviously not true because you're a master at laundry, but...
You wound me.
But it's like getting it out there, naming what it is, and then the other person has a chance then to respond to it. But in the work context, it's more likely to be something like you noticing that you are resisting something from somebody else. Maybe it's a line manager or something, and you'll say, you know, I'm realizing that secretly I'm refusing your authority, and I'm curious about why that's going on for me. Perhaps it's because I feel that I need to be treated more as an equal. Perhaps it's because you know, whatever it is that comes to you. Or secretly I feel like I judge you because you don't share my values, or I don't really agree with where you're heading with the direction of this project, or something like that. It could be like in a one-to-one context like that with somebody professionally, or it could be like you said about having an honesty hour at work.
That's a great idea, really. It just came to me at the moment.
It's a great idea, not just necessarily to create the space of an hour, or like a significant amount of time to sit and say, right, let's open up things that are going on here and give everyone an opportunity to voice anything that they're feeling. But even just as a way to start a meeting, to name the thing that might be preventing you from being present with that person that you're about to embark on a meeting with can be really powerful. Because say something's happened that morning before you went to work that you know has altered your mood that day, has altered the way you're going to be able to show up, and it's weighing on your shoulders, or it's niggling at the back of your mind, you know, you'll be registering it somewhere in your body. Actually just coming on the call and allowing everybody to say hi and say that anything that they feel they're holding, they don't need to go into it in any details. It doesn't need to be like a therapeutic sharing. It just be a naming of what's there, so that everybody else can then breathe into the meeting, knowing that if they sense something funny about John or Bill or whoever's there, it's not personal. they know that it's likely to be attached to whatever that thing is going on, and they don't need to know the details, but just naming it, clears the air. So does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, yeah.
So you can then obviously go on that it could be like secretly that a team together has almost collectively formed a dishonesty. So it could be that collectively as a team, people are working in such a way as they'll never really prioritise the customer, even though one of their values might be the customer's always first. It's like secretly they're operating in a way that they don't actually prioritise the customer. And it might be that
Are they consciously doing that?
Subconsciously, likely. But yeah. Once you become aware of it, and once it becomes explicit rather than implicit, it frees things up. So once they then have that space, like somebody's become aware of that and noticed it, oh, you know, we're having this honesty hour, I think secretly we don't really prioritise the customer at all, then everybody can go, okay, are we really acting in ways aligned with our values? Is this because we need to re-explore our values? Is the value appropriate still for this organization or not? Is it that we're all being sidetracked and we need to refocus, and we actually do all want the customer to be put first? How can we make that happen? It could be that there's a secret that you're almost pretending there's no secrets, that people can feel there's this undercurrent of stuff going on in the organization, but they're pretending it's not there, and it's almost like just that in itself that needs to be unearthed. Or it could be about competitiveness. We've talked about competitiveness before, like secretly we're not really working as a team, we're just competing against each other.
I think that happens a lot in organizations, doesn't it? Like from my experience, that people don't share, or they're not particularly helpful. And because they want to be, and it's quite childish in some ways, that, you know, I think it's like, I want to be the boss's pet, the teacher's pet, you know, in the office. And if I share too much, or if we work together too much, the shine is going to come off me and be spread amongst other people.
Yeah.
But that, again, is something I guess you can address in an honesty kind of situation.
Yeah.
Right. So that's fascinating. I think the whole secretly, I think that's definitely happened to me in the past. Like, and my lack of being able to be honest has meant that I've then harbored bad feelings to people that I've never really spoken to them about how they've made me feel in a work context. So it's like, I'm angry. I'm double angry. I'm angry at myself for not saying anything, and I'm angry at them for making me feel a certain way.
Yeah.
But from what you're saying is, you've got to be in control of how you feel, and someone can't or shouldn't make you feel a certain way. Of course, their actions and their what they say to you is going to have an impact on you, but it's how you choose to feel about it, and that's in your control. And that, coupled with then the integrity and strength to be able to be honest about how that's making you feel, and be honest to that person about how it's making you feel, can, like you say, can really surprise people, because you can build a picture up in your head. I guess I have done this, where I think that person's not going to react very well if I tell them they're making me feel like this. And the few times that I have done it, the actual response has been a lot better than I expected. It's not always going to be the case, I'm sure. But it's going to make things better for you, because you're not dealing with that feeling of being unable to speak about
it. Yeah, and like you said earlier on, it's like you're otherwise energetically bottling up all of those feelings, which is then a very stressful thing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That is then what manifests itself in physical symptoms in people, like psoriasis.
When I've been really stressed, that's when my psoriasis flares up really badly. And then you get all these, you know, you can sometimes get like weird symptoms of things that you don't know what they are.
Yeah,
and
so it's, people might always get headaches. Or
yeah, but they might even be like, you know, unrelated to what you would think stress, you know, stress could bring. Like, you know, you might get a pain in your leg or something that you think, you know, I've injured it maybe doing something, but you haven't. It's just you're holding tension maybe in that area. And it sounds a bit kind of out there, but it makes total sense to me now. And I think, that bottling up of things, it is, if there's only so much you can put in a bottle, and that bottle's expanding and it's stressed, right? And that stress is then bleeding into your body.
Yeah, and so your body will create symptoms to basically for you to start paying yourself some attention. It can also be a bit like a volcano, that we don't speak when there are these small things that are, say, irritating us or frustrating us, or that we feel resentful about or whatever. But if we don't name them and speak about them at the time, then they can start to build up. Because if it's happening frequently on a daily basis with the same person, for example, what is really quite a small isolated thing on its own that could be cleared quite quickly and easily can grow into
a much bigger
thing. And then in us, we might even then come out with quite an eruption. And that, for the kind of force of that, then when the person on the receiving end isn't even perhaps aware they're doing the thing that's aggravating us, they then feel this full wrath of our built up rage.
Which isn't fair either, is it?
When it becomes out of proportion, and it could have been otherwise dissolved quite easily if we were willing to be comfortable with getting out of our comfort zone, being uncomfortable and being having honest. That conversation.
But that's the thing we really struggle with. I mean, I say we, I struggle with in kind of society, is basically this feeling that being honest is too offensive sometimes. And I also feel like, me personally, that if I'm too honest, I'm being selfish and I'm only thinking about my feelings, and I shouldn't upset somebody else. But it's how you it goes back to how you deliver it and how well thought out your process is about your honesty. So if, like you said, if you've taken a time to check in with yourself, and where does that feeling of honesty come from? Is it genuine? Is it how you really feel? And then selecting the right moment and the right way in a kind of more measured, balanced way to deliver it in a safe environment like that, in a group setting at work, or if it's one-to-one with a partner or a friend. I feel like that, I sent a message to a friend recently about, and it was very honest, and it was really hard for me to send it. And I don't think I could have done it face to face. And I felt like I was only 25-30% of the way there to delivering it how I wanted to deliver it. So it's something I'm still working on, and something, I guess, like anything in life, the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah, and at least that was a start. Even by sending a message, if you don't feel able to make the phone call, perhaps, or to have the live in-person conversation. But the other thing is that it's okay not to necessarily have the timing precisely.
There's never going to be a perfect moment.
Well, I think even just to say, like, to start the conversation off with, this might sound really clumsy, like I'm finding it hard to articulate myself and get the words together in the way that I really want to convey this. I want you to know that I'm trying to speak from my heart, and I'm not, and I'm trying to share with you in a way that helps us to get to a place that's better than where we're at right now. So that the person on the receiving end almost just drops into themselves a little bit. Like, if there was a likelihood that person would be being sort of quite judgmental, sort of going into that role of the persecutor that we've referred to with the Cartman drama triangle, when we've talked about that before on these podcasts, where we can either go into the role of a victim, a persecutor, or a rescuer. It's like, if there's a tendency that other person kind of goes into a bit of a persecutor, can be quite critical, all of those things, it helps to disarm that by almost apologising for the fact that you might come across in a bit of, but at least you're getting it out. So, like, really naming whatever it is that's going on for you in the moment of sharing, even kind of surrounding getting that truth there. So
when you say naming, so what do you mean?
Saying, Dylan, is it okay if we sit down for a couple of minutes? I'm noticing I'm feeling a bit nervous in my body as I ask you about this, and sorry if this all comes out a bit upside down and a bit clumsy, but I really feel that it's important for me to get out what's going on inside of me at the moment, because I'm holding all these feelings in my body. I'm not really sure even what they maybe relate to, but I want to try and make sense of it.
I think that's great advice.
Important to speak with you.
It softens the blow a little bit. But it just softens the landscape a bit, that when you do start talking, that other person, like you say, is disarmed and maybe more willing to listen and accept what's being said.
And I think also it's you're being vulnerable, and
But genuinely vulnerable, right? Yeah, it's not.
Yes, and I don't mean in a sense of like, then, in especially like in a work context, it's not then about oversharing and kind of going into things. Nobody really needs to know the inner details of what's going on if it's not relating to work. But it is relating to work if it's something you're feeling in relation to the team, the organisation as a whole, or individuals that you're working with. And therefore, it's really relevant. And it's that vulnerability is really about you are taking off the mask that you're otherwise wearing in front that. When you're with that person.
Who is behind the mask, Jane?
Who is there behind the mask? You're removing the mask and you're being willing to show more of what's there behind that. So when we do that, we actually go to a deeper place of connection with the other person. We can kind of wear a mask sometimes to protect ourselves because we feel if it's not there, we otherwise won't be able to hold everything together and conduct ourselves in the way that we need to.
Especially in a work environment where you're trying to be professional and, you're playing a role to some extent.
But the thing is, that separates us from the authentic part of ourselves. And other people can then perceive us as this person that doesn't really have emotional intelligence or that can't really empathise or connect with things because we end up almost having to then operate in quite a robotic, detached and unhuman way. And so by being willing to...
That sounds very corporate to me.
But it's true,
yeah,
no, right?
I'm just thinking back to roles.
Even you think about not just the sort of metaphor of the mask wearing, but the clothing that people will wear. It's almost like armour, to protect who they really are underneath. That there's that very limited sense of self-expression in the traditional sense with the suits and the all
briefcase.
Of the
I've got stuff, a, you know, I've got a briefcase.
Look the part and
buckles.
Fake it till you make it and all that nonsense. It's like how are you really? Who are you really? And being willing to show that you're a real person underneath however professionally you may have conducted yourself and held yourself in the past, if you can show that other person in that conversation that you're even if this is really new to you, you're at least attempting to go there and share more of what's going on beneath the surface, that person then drops into that place in them as well, and it gives them permission to do the same. And honestly, in a larger sense, if we don't all start to do this more in our organisations, we're never going to get where things need to be to make the change globally that needs to be made in such a way that we're actually caring for each other and for the planet that we call home. It's like we are in wearing these masks and operating in this very rigid way as if there's no connection either within ourselves or to each other or to the wider landscape, that the planet. We're just self-destructing. So it's even more, it's beyond this theme that we introduced. The ramifications of this are much bigger.
Big words from Jane there. And can you give us an example, Jane, of an organisation that you have worked with that have been able to implement a more honest structure, or how could an organisation benefit from it on a kind of day-to-day basis, or would it be a weekly basis that they do something like this, or a monthly basis, or how could you incorporate it into your team meetings?
Yes, I think the key is starting small, but starting. So starting with that check-in that I suggested at the beginning of team meetings, just going around the circle and each person stating anything that would prevent them from being present. Quite often I will start it with three words, so that anything that could
what
keep
three
them,
words?
What anything that could keep them from being present, how they're feeling in the moment, and something that they're looking forward to. And it just
leaving
helps.
At 5 p.m.
just helps, yeah, to humanize things and to drop people into who they are, how they are in that moment.
Just break the ice and yeah.
Well, otherwise we're just all in our heads, and the meeting races off into whatever the agenda is. I mean, sometimes some meetings have no agenda.
I don't want to go off topic, but do you think like meeting, like just generally with businesses there's too many meetings from your experience of working with them.
Yeah, 100%. And then the other end of the scale, there could be no meetings and hardly any communication. And then that's the
just
other end.
Just trying to find a balance between the two.
It's definitely balance. I don't believe there should be any meetings without a real agenda and a point to people coming together. And I don't think it's worthwhile having people on meetings that don't need to be there. But I do think it's very important that teams who are operating together, dependent on each other and have interrelated roles, that they do have some form of check-in with each other on a regular basis. And by regular, I mean at least once a week, just to touch in and then obviously still have some point to the meeting, not just the check-in. I mean, it could be that that's that is the meeting and it begins and it ends within 2 minutes and everyone's done a quick round robin and that's it. And that keeps people feeling connected. There's a point to that. But I've also worked in teams where there is no updates on what's going on with projects or the wider setting, and then people can feel very isolated in whatever they're doing and not kept in the loop with progressions, and then they start to feel that they're not involved in the purpose of the bigger business, and that they didn't count, they're not being valued, that they're not being seen or appreciated. And so there are reasons to us coming together, whether it's remotely or in person, that are about that connection piece. And so whether it's around that or whether it's around the very matter-of-fact things that need to be discussed, worked through and are being talked about in meetings, those meetings can start with a very brief check-in. And obviously you wouldn't do it with every single meeting of the day, but if you're speaking to people more than once, do it with the first meeting that you have. If you're only speaking in that day, if it's only once in the week, do it in that once a week meeting.
That's great. There's a lot that we've covered today, and there's so much more we could talk about on honesty. I think there could be having honest conversations with your boss and a one-to-one environment and just living a more honest life, in the sense of being more open and honest about how you feel about stuff and how freeing that can be for you. But we're going to run out of time today, and I think we can run it back on a future episode and definitely revisit this another time. But Jane, honestly, it's been a blast. You've been great, knowledgeable as ever, and it was really good to just talk about that, and hopefully that just can spike some interest or interesting thoughts among our listeners who may feel like now they can just think about how can I approach a situation with a bit of preparation and also a bit of honesty.
And being a shade braver than they were the day before.
A shade braver than the day before. Quote that up and put that on your Instagram. Thanks very much for listening. We have got to 25 episodes and there's going to be hundreds more. So, and that's honest. That's straight from the heart. Don't forget to check us out, balanceology.uk. And if you like this episode, give us a rating or review on whichever podcast platform you download it from. That's all from us. See you next time.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode all about honesty, and that can help you both in your work and personal lives going forward. If you have any questions, don't forget you can email us at hello@balanceology.uk. Check our website, balanceology.uk, or follow us on Instagram, the same, balanceology.uk. Jane is running a number of burnout retreats throughout the autumn and winter, so get in touch if you're interested in finding more about that. And if you're interested in one-to-one coaching sessions with either of us, you can also contact us about that as well. We hope you have a great week, and we'll catch you next time on the next episode of the Art of Balance podcast. Take care.